Aloha and welcome to the MDS podcast, the official podcast of the International Parkinson's and Movement Disorder Society. I'm Mitra Afshari, an associate editor of the podcast series and your host today. We are recording in breathtaking Honolulu, Hawaii at the 2025 MDS Congress. And with me live and in the flesh is Professor Francesca Morgante of St. George's University of London in the UK. Francesca is a world-renowned movement disorder specialist. She's a clinical specialist, researcher, and neuromodulation expert. And she's very much been intimately involved in the MDS and all of its educational efforts for years. We're so lucky to have you here today. Welcome, Francesca. Thank you.
Thanks for inviting me.
So every day at the Congress, we bring one of our senior attendees onto the podcast so that they can really summarize and highlight some of the sessions from the day before that really spoke to them, that really stood out in their minds. Francesca, let's start. Yesterday was the big jump off to the Congress, and we started out with the morning presidential lectures. We had two incredible talks from the recipients of the two big awards, the Stanley Fawn Lecture Award and the David Marsden Lecture Award, Professor Mark Edwards and Professor John Stossel. Can you tell us what you thought about that kickoff? What stood out to you from those lectures?
The presidential lecture is really one of the highlights of our Congress. This was a very inspiring session. We witnessed two clinical researchers that show very consistently how their research is inspired by their clinical practice and their clinical observation. Professor Mark Edwards has devoted his career to functional neurological disorder. He has redefined and defined this condition. And we navigated through his career from the early studies using neurophysiology up to the final stage where he used his knowledge of this condition to revolutionize services into the health systems. It was really an outstanding lecture, and also he delivers a very important message for young movement disorders member, in which you can be a clinician, a researcher, but most importantly, you have to deliver your work as a neurologist in an empathic way to your patient. He spoke about this interface that is the psychosomatic aspect of the disease that it really matters in determining the disability of people, not just with the functional neurological disorder, but with any chronic neurological condition.
Absolutely. I really admired that he was sending the message that we have to remember to be compassionate doctors. And I loved the more philosophical nature of his lecture.
The lecture was really outstanding for the mixture of clinical knowledge, knowledge of experimental methodology, but also for this philosophical hint. And also, I would say, a bit of anthropology, you know, being expert of human behavior. On the other side, this lecture paired very well with Professor John Stossel. Professor John Stossel is the editor-in-chief of Movement Disorder Journal, and he has shown his career that was devoted to neuroimaging and in particular to PET studies. It was an outstanding lecture in which actually he gave us some hint of the future research and the new studies his group is conducting. I was very much interested in learning the different role of striatum and matrix in the basal ganglia in respect to the manifestation of Parkinson's disease and the lateralization of Parkinson's disease science. And last but not least, he gave us an example on how to use very advanced experimental techniques like molecular neuroimaging to understand the mechanism, the positive benefit of physical exercise in Parkinson's disease.
Yeah, it was really quite fascinating. His talk was really wonderful. And then after the senior lecturers, we got to hear from the junior awardees. The first lecture was from Dr. Lydia Sugar, and she talked about her research on atrophy in multiple systems atrophy, and how she was able to use imaging transcriptomics in order to really hone in on the genetics that were related to the atrophy patterns. And she found out that they were specifically related to mitochondrial function and oligodendrocytes in PD patients, in MSA patients. And how did you feel about that finding and that lecture? She did a wonderful job.
She did a wonderful job to first translate in a very simple language a very complex methodology, but also highlighted the importance of using advanced neuroimaging methodologies like this that integrate the imaging with transcriptomics. And we need more and more methodologies to track disease progression and identify the prodromal stages and allow us to see the trajectory of progression more sensitive than our clinical observation. In the Movement Disorder Society, we have been trained to develop skills to recognize phenomenology. But I think that our society now is transitioning beyond the phenomenology, using these methodologies really to develop target therapies, but also allowing us to really phenotype deeply patients with neurodegenerative disorders. And Dr. Sugar really made a great job.
Absolutely. And then the next junior awardee was Junghwan Shin. And so you wear a lot of hats. You're a researcher, you're a clinician, you're a neuromodulation expert. And so Junghwan is similar, and he has his MD, he has his PhD, and his research was delineating kind of an STN subpopulation of cells that may be responsible for the motor benefit that we see with DBS. And it was really quite fascinating because we're still trying to figure out how DBS essentially works. And so he's taking us one step closer. And so he was able to hone in on these parvalbumin cells that may be responsible for motor benefit, and also hone in on some cells, the non-parvalbumin cells that may be responsible for some of the non-motor side effects we see with stimulation. How did you find his lecture?
So Dr. Shin's research findings address a very important knowledge gap that he's tried to explain while despite a good placement of DBS lead, we have patients whose motor benefit and also no motor benefit is not good or is actually poor. This was very innovative research that deeply went using like an experimental preclinical model, went into the details to learn if certain types of neurons are responsible for a better motor outcome. His research opened up a lot of interesting future research question, because now we really want to know what would be the neuronal population that might be more responsible for improvement on non-motor features like sleep disorders or the neuropsychiatric symptoms. Anxiety is a major symptom of Parkinson, and so it would be important to understand if they can replicate or they can use the same methodology to address this research gap. Both junior awards recipient and the two recipients of the Stanley Fund and the David Marsden are clinicians that use research methodologies to address clinical needs. I was touched by Dr. Shin's first slide that he started with his experience into the deep brain stimulation operating room and seeing a patient improving. And that triggered to him the need to investigate more in detail how could he make this treatment better.
Right. I love that personal touch and just to hear his story as to what motivated him to do his research. After the presidential lectures, we went into the plenary session, and that was, of course, on Parkinson's disease, and it was updates on etiology of Parkinson's. And I personally thought that those lectures were just incredible. I was completely drawn into the lectures. We first heard about genetics, then the environment, and then the gut microbiome. And so for me, especially, there was a lot of kind of wow moments with the environmental talk. How did you feel about those talks?
To Ritz has put attention once again on the environment. The role of environment respect to the pathogenesis of Parkinson's disease was very important many years ago when our society was started, and then it was forgotten because genetics took over. We finally are living the era of trying to understand this genetic environmental interaction. And this lecture on the neural exposome showed that a series of pesticides increase the risk of Parkinson's disease. And very interestingly, they do it in a synergic way. So more or less having different type of pesticide increase more and more the risk. So Dr. Ritz showed data from epidemiological studies, but also show data from in vitro studies in which they test the hypothesis and they try to understand the mechanism on how this pesticide affect mitochondria function. And I think that more and more these talks show how it's important to study genetic environment interaction, or even more important, genetic environment microbiome interaction.
Right. One thing will modify something else, and it's all multifactorial. That series was incredible. And then after that series, we had several other incredible sessions, an autoimmune session, sessions on gait and posture. I think you were specifically involved in the gait and posture section. And I personally attended that one because they were overlapping with the others. And it was really fantastic. So many videos. And Alfonso was one of the chairs there. And we heard a lot of good questions, too, at the end of the session from people in the audience. How was your perspective on the final sessions for the day?
So gait and posture session is one of the teaching courses. The teaching courses are under the responsibility of the education committee, and they are developed by the members of the education committee and supervised by the chairs of the education committee. This year, we put a lot of attention in developing courses that could improve the education on a very important and frequent aspect of our work. And gait and posture and balance are one of those. We had three fantastic lectures. Dr. Carlo Alberto Artusi tackled the posture and balance dysfunction in Parkinson and Parkinsonian conditions. Then we had Dr. Rupa Rajan addressing the phenomenology of gait disorders in Parkinsonism, and she shows several videos with a lot of examples. I think this is very relevant because pattern recognition is part of our training, and she delivered a very good educational message to the young members. And finally, Dr. Ogawa addressed gait disorder in other movement disorders, such as dystonia and chorea. And once again, he showed several videos and how to recognize specific features that give us some clues to make a definite diagnosis.
Yeah, the videos were really incredible. Like you said, it's just seeing these things up on the video screen and starting to recognize patterns. That's how we learn and we'll continue to learn. I think that brings us to the end of our session. I think we could talk forever about everything that we learned yesterday. It's been really fun chatting with you. You're such a dynamic person. So thank you so much, Francesca, for joining us, for highlighting all the amazing sessions that we had yesterday. And hopefully today will be even better. It was really wonderful to chat with you. Mahalo.
Mahalo.
The views and opinions expressed by the participants in this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the International Parkinson and Movement Disorder Society or their affiliated journals, Movement Disorders, and Movement Disorders Clinical Practice. Any disclosures of the participants can be found within the episode description located on the MDS website.